Boker Tov, and welcome back to our study of Daf Yomi. This is our final shiur on Masechet Chagigah. We have one Mishnah to do at the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph, which will take us to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph and our Siyum. The final Mishnah, picking up from the previous Mishnah, Ketzad Mavirin Al Taharat Azara. How would they clean out the Azara after Yom Tov? They would take all the kelim that were in the mikdash, take them to the mikvah, and they would also tell the kohanim during the regel, make sure not to touch the shulchan that's in the kodesh, where the lechem apanim is. The concern was that some of the kohanim were amei haaretz and might be tmeim, and the shulchan cannot be taken out for purposes of tevilah, for reasons that we will see. It will be the major focus of discussion in the Gemara. All the kelim in the mikdash have backups and backups to the backups. Just for the purpose, not concerned that one will be broken or disabled, but rather in case one of them became tameh, you could bring the other one and use it. All the kelim are kelim that can become tameh and therefore would need tevilah, except for the two altars, the Mizbach HaZahav in the Kodesh, the small altar, the golden altar, and the Mizbach HaNechoshet, the huge altar outside, which is the one covered in copper. Neshein Kekarket, the Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar gives one reason, which is because they are considered like earth, and we'll see why, from Psukim. The Chachamim Omrim Neshein Metsupin, and the Chachamim say the reason is because they are covered, and we'll have to see what the reasoning behind that argument is at the end of the Gemara. Okay, the first statement in the Gemara is Tana Yizaru Shama Tigu Bashulchan Uvam Nora. So in the Mishnah, we say that they told the Kohanim who are Amei Haaretz, be careful during the regel not to touch the Shulchan. And now we have a Braita that says they told them not to touch the Shulchan and the Menorah. So obviously, according to the author of the Braita, the Menorah cannot be taken to the Mikvah. And according to our Tana, the Menorah can be taken, only the Shulchan can't. Let's see what the reason is. Tana didan, my Tana alo tani menorah. Why didn't our Tana mention menorah? The answer is shulchan k'tiv bei tamid, menorah lo k'tiv ba tamid. Take a look at the first pasuk on the page, and it says v'natata lo shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. So even though it doesn't say the shulchan has to be there all the time, the lechem panim have to be on the shulchan at all times. So if so, the shulchan cannot be moved. The menorah never says tamid about the menorah itself. The Idach, so what is the Tana of the Bright to say? Kevan Dichtiv, take a look at Pasuk number 2 on the page. That the menorah is going to be Nochach HaShulchan. The menorah is placed opposite the Shulchan. Keman Dichtiv Batamid Dami. Opposite here means sort of corresponding. Since the Shulchan's always there, the menorah always has to be there. V'idach, what does our Tana say? Halikpola Makom Huda'ata. The Pasuk is there not to tell you it should always be there like the Shulchan, but rather to tell you where it should be, exactly opposite the menorah. Typically, the Chli Eitz Asui L'Nachatu, so the Gemara raises a challenge and says, we don't really have a problem with somebody being Matam in the Shulchan. They don't need to be careful, because even if you touch the Shulchan is not vulnerable to Tumah, because it is a Chli Eitz, a wooden Chli. Remember, the Shulchan was made of wood with a gold cover. It's a wooden Chli that is used to rest things on. And a Chli Eitz Asui L'Nachet, or L'Nachat, is not Mekabel Tumah. My time. What's the reason for that? Do me a sack by Inan. Take a look at the third pasuk on the page. The fourth pasuk on the page. Mikol kli eitz oveged or osak in Parshat Shmini. So a kli eitz, the tumat kli eitz is mentioned along with sack, with burlap, with sackcloth. And the inference from there is mas sack mitaltam al evrei kam, just like a sack is carried, both empty and full, afkol mitaltel malev reikam. So the only kli that's mitameh, kli eitz, is that it's mitaltel malev reikam, carried, it's portable, both full and empty, and this one is not carried at all. It's a kli eitz asui l'nachat. It's a kli eitz that's made for putting things on. So the answer is, hainam mitaltel malev reikam hu. It's not true. The shulchan sometimes is carried. Why? Kedivei shlakish, damar shlakish, ma'idichti b'ala shulchan atahor. Why does the pasuk, which is pasuk number 5, describe, I'm sorry, the pasuk number 3 on the page, describe the Shulchan as HaShulchan HaTahor, Chal Shu Tamei. So obviously that means that it could become Tamei. V'amai Kli Eitz Asui L'Nachatu. How could it become Tamei? After all, it's Kli Eitz Asui L'Nachat. The answer is that they pick it up on the regel and they show it to the ole regel to show them the lechem ha'panim. For what purpose? See how much God loves you. What is it that God loves you? When we take off the bread, it's just like when we put on the bread, just as hot and just as fresh a week later. One of the great miracles in the Mikdash and the Mishkan was the Lechem HaPanim, that was just as hot when you put it on and as when you take it off. Shinemar, what's the proof text? When the Lechem HaPanim was taken off of the whatever passed for Shulchan, in Nov, when Achimelech HaKohen gave it to David for food for the way, it says, Lasum Lechem Chom, to put hot bread on the day that it's taken off. So the day that it's taken off, it's still hot. Okay, so good. So now we understand why this shulchan is viable, is vulnerable to tumah, because even though it's a kli etzah sui lanachat, nonetheless, it is carried out sometimes with the bread on it to show people on the regel. So why don't I argue that because of the tzipui, because of the cover on the Shulchan, it's viable for Tumah. In other words, I don't need Rish Lakish's explanation that they would bring the Shulchan out, carry it. After all, it's got a metal cover, a gold cover on it. The Anana Shulchan Vadulpaki, these are different kinds of tables. Shinifchatu or Shechipan B'shayish. Let's say got part of them got eaten away or they covered it with marble. But he left enough room on the table to put cups in the middle. Tameh. Yehuda says, no, it still has to be able to be a place where you can put a piece of meat. Which means that the sipui, the cover on top of the table, makes it viable for tumah. Right? You might think, that this might be your argument, that the acacia wood that's used for the shulchan is so important that the sipui, the gold cover, would not trumpet and mevatel it. That will not work. Hanechal Rish Lakish, that only work according to Rish Lakish, who said, Demar lo shanu ela bechli achsaligim. Rish Lakish said that the tzipui only works in the case of kelim made out of insignificant wood, that's achsaligim. Masmim, but this very important wood, it's kind of like a walnut, lo batli. Alright, so you could say, aha, okay, good. So when the wood is very important, so the wood is not batel to the cover. Rabbi Yochanan said, Damar, filibu clay masmim nami batli, even clay masmim, they're batel, my ika the meimar. Chitema kan betzipui, omed kan betzipui, shein omed. So maybe you'll argue that, the only time that tzipui is mevatel the eights is when it's tzipui that's permanent. And you could argue that tzipui here is not permanent. Habba amin erish lokish, mi Rabbi Yochanan. Does this din of bitul, that the definition of the kli is formed by the tzipui, is that only made into the wood, or even if it's relatively temporary, is it only if it covers the handles of the kli, or even if it doesn't cover the handles, levaz vizin? Our handles. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said it doesn't matter whether it's permanent or impermanent, whether it covers the handles or not, that tzipui is mevatel. Ella, so what's the deal here? Shani Shulchan. The Shulchan is different. Why is the Shulchan different? The text itself calls the Shulchan Eitz, which means that even though you've got all these metals on it, nonetheless, it is only defined as Eitz. It's a Kli Eitz, and therefore we need Rish Lakish to tell us that they would pick it up and bring it out, and that's why it's not Kli Eitz Asui Lenachat, therefore it's Mekabel Tumah. How do I know it's called Eitz? Tichtiv in the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Hamizbeach Eitz Shalosh Amot Gavoah Ve'orko Shtayim Amot Mikzotav Lo Ve'orko Vekirotav Eitz. Describes the Mizbeach as eights. This is, as you'll see, the Shulchan. It's three amot high and two amot long, and the edge of them are all made out of wood. And then Vaidaber Elai Zeh Shulchan Asher Lifnei Adonai. And God spoke to me and said, this is the Shulchan. So, by the way, so you see that it's called Eitz. By the way, we have a beautiful homily. Patach Mizbeach Asim B'Shulchan. The text first calls it Mizbeach, then a Shulchan. Mishlokish Tamei Tavayim. By the way, it's interesting because B'Yochan Mishlokish recently had a number of machlokot in the last couple of shiurim. And now they come together and say, Bizman Shemit HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach HaChapar Al Adam. When the Beit HaMikdash is around, so the Mizbeach, the altar, is what offers atonement. Achshav Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper Alav. But now, it is the Shulchan that brings Kapara to a person. And Rashi points out, Bachmasat Orchim, and other places Rashi says, a similar thought when you feed the poor. Marich al Shulchano, Marichin lo Yomav, etc., etc. Parenthetically, we then say, Kol HaKelim Shel Mikdash Yishlem Shniim. We said that the two altars are not Mekabel Tumah because they're called their ground. How do we know they're called ground? Mizbach HaNechosha, the copper, the big altar. Tichlin Mizbach HaDamata HaSeli. The Torah refers to this in Pasuk number 7 as a Mizbach HaDamah, an earthen altar. The Mizbach HaZahav, and the golden altar, Tichlin HaMenorah HaMizbachot. When it says which group of Kohanim carried which thing, of Levim carried which things, says that the Kohanim carried the menorah and the mizbachot, the altars. Itkush mizbachot zelazeh. So the altars are compared to each other. Since the big one is called mizbach adamah, the little one, even though it's made out of wood and gold, nonetheless has a din of karka, and therefore is not mekabel tumah. Now the end of the Mishnah was chachamim omrim that it's mneishin mitzupin. It sounds like they're saying we've got a different reason why the two mizbachot aren't vulnerable for tumah because. Vulnerable to Tumah because they are covered. Adrava, kevada mitzupin ninu mitamu. It's the exact opposite. We just got through arguing that when something is covered with a metal, that makes it viable for Tumah. So, ema v'chachamim mitamim neishin kemitzupin. So, one way to read the Mishnah is to change the ruling. Chachamim disagree and say that actually the chachamim say that this that the altars are tamei because they're covered. Bibaitim, and the other way to read it is Rabbanan the Rabbalazar Kamri. The Rabbanan were responding to Rabbalazar, who said that the Mizbachot are not Makabal Tumah because they're Karka. Which means that if it weren't for the fact they were Karka, they would be Makabal Tumah. And they said, Ma'adatech, Mishum de Mutsupin, you think that they'd be Makabal Tumah because of their cover? Mivtil Batel Tipuyin Gabayu, the cover is Batel to them. Amravau Amravielazar, Taminechacham Ein Orshal Gehenom Mishaletet Bahen. Said a homily, he said that the Chachamim, the fire of Gehenna cannot hurt them, Kavachomer, or it cannot devour them, Kavachomer is salamandra. It's a Kavachomer from a salamander. Right? They evidently believed that a salamander was created from fire. Ma salamandra should told that Eshu, it comes from fire. Hasachri damayin or shuletabo. If you take some of its blood and put it on your skin, evidently that skin can't be burnt. Tamei Chachamim shekol gufanesh. So Tamei Chachamim who are totally fire. Dichtiv alokot dvarei ka'eshnu ma'adonai. God's words are like fire. So Tamei Chachamim are suffused with God's words. Alachat kama v'chama. How much more so that they cannot be devoured by fire. Amerish lakish ein ur shel genom shaletet b'foshei Yisrael. Right? The fire of Gehenna cannot hurt b'foshei Yisrael, which means Jews who are there. Kavachom Mizbach HaZahav, right? Ma Mizbach HaZahav Shein Olav Elaku Ubi Dinar Zahav. The Mizbach HaZahav had a fire on it, but it had only the thickness of a dinar of gold. Kama Shani Meno Or Shaletet Bo. But the gold was never melted for all those years, even with a fire on it. Poshe Yisrael Shem Lein Mitzvot Kremon. So Poshe Yisrael, even the worst of Am Yisrael, are filled with mitzvot like a pomegranate. Tichtiv Kefelach Harimon Rakatech. The drasha is your empty ones. Are like a slice of pomegranate. Al tikrei rakatech ela reikanim shabach. No, don't read rakatech, but rather reikanim shabach, right? Which means those who are empty. Al achad kama v'cham. How much more so that the fire cannot devour them or hurt them. So hadran alach masachet chagiga. Shakoach to all of the lomdim that we have completed the study of masachet chagiga. And mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast we will begin the study of masachet Yevamot.